All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday.
See? Do not scare me like that, Earl. I don't know if I'd make it if it was Monday.
You know, I that's what I mean about I should put it on automatic pilot, and then I would...
Last time you did that, you forgot my last name.
No, it's when I started trying to do the thinking.
Do always remember the phone number. Yeah. I have to turn my brain off to remember the phone number as well,
right.
So I understand.
All right, so... it's Friday, so that means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Well, but it's Monday's with Sandy Williams, too. So I wasn't, you know, the Sandy Williams is involved in both Mondays and Fridays. So let me keep making excuses. But anyway, Sandy, I just, you know, I don't know if the American people, you know, our compassion for the war still exists. And that's going to continue to exist. Until we start seeing the impact on us.
Well, you know, the impact...
Financially.
Yeah, we're talking about, I mean, like inflation.
Right.
And the reason inflation is going to be a much bigger impact now than during the time of the 20-year Afghanistan conflict or Iraq. Those were deficit-funded expenditures. So they were definitely inflationary because, you know, when you spend that much money, it's all on American goods. Lots of it is spent in America by the government. So that has a significant growth, kind of expansionist inflationary pressure. But most of it was done after 2008, or much of it was done after 2008, when the United States economy was either in recession or recovering, when the United States economy was in a situation where we had more production capacity than we had demand, which was a deflationary effect. So that kept interest rates low. We were producing oil at great amounts, and the wars didn't affect the production of oil materially, at least elsewhere. And so the price of gasoline and oil was at essentially all-time real lows during that whole time period. If you measured the real cost of gas and oil in 1975 and compared it to the price in the period 2008 to 2019, it was very low during that entire time period. And so it was a different environment. Now we've got war going on that's going to create substantial shortages in foodstuffs, substantial shortages in fundamental thing, foodstuffs and gas and oil, and commodities generally. There's plenty, I mean, people when the USSR broke down and Russia became available to investors, it was being talked about as a commodities cabinet, a commodities cupboard full of all kinds of minerals and oil and foodstuffs. And so commodity traders across the world became very active in facilitating the movement of commodities from Russia into the rest of the world. So that all of that stuff, it's not sophisticated stuff, but it's basic stuff that has an effect on the price of lots of other things. And so now all those things are going to be going up in price because they're becoming much less available. And so, yeah, I mean, we're going to see much more effect. And the other thing we're going to see an effect from is we're talking about putting $33 billion American dollars, additional dollars.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Sending that to Ukraine. You know, if we were talking about putting $33 billion into child daycare, there'd be a lot of talk about whether we should do that or not. There'd be a debate in the Senate. There'd be party line votes. But this is bipartisan. This is something the White House can float one day, and the next day the Senate will be ready to act on it. So this is going to have a huge effect on again, the American prioritization of how we spend our dollars in a time of inflation and in a time of recession. We've got lots of pressures against spending money, but apparently not when it relates to defense.
So, Sandy, we've been floating on, you know, thin air since the Barack Obama years of coming in and turning things around. Great years development under Donald Trump, under George Bush. Under the first year of Biden, the economy has been booming for a long, long time. American people have gotten fat again. Living large.
You speak for yourself.
Yeah. Living large and comfortable, and even people who, you know, struggled have been enjoying these good years, and so we hadn't. It's been a while. Yeah, well, 2008. It's been a while since the American people have had to tighten their belts.
Yeah,
and
well,
so,
we had a recession with COVID, but we had a huge amount of government bailout that really
you really couldn't feel it.
Yeah, you couldn't feel it, and in fact, some people actually felt better as a result of the differential between the very low pay scales that the American process was letting them live under and the amount that they were receiving from the government to support them. You know, the government found out something during COVID that surprised them, I think, the Senate and the House of Representatives.
That the economy
grew? Well, no. That when they decided what was kind of the lowest support wage that a reasonable family ought to receive from the government, that it exceeded the wages that many people were earning from full-time jobs.
Right.
Because it turns out that states that had $7.50 minimum wages meant that people were earning, $15,000 a year on a full-time job. Really. I think the government was surprised by the number of people who were actually better off by not working at their underpaid job and receiving the support they were getting from the government. And then we have this dislocation of labor that's resulted. I mean, COVID, the combination of the COVID problems and the ability of the government to provide support for it, but then to manage how our economy comes out of that process. And then the trade war with China that created the beginning of serious fractures in the supply chain, and the damage that the now seriously damaged supply chain from not only that process, but then COVID, all of those things are creating kind of a perfect storm for a potential worldwide recession that is going to be different than the recessions we've had for quite
Sandy,
a while.
So, Sandy, let's look at the impact of really what's going to happen to many people. Our government is so far in debt that when this, recession comes, which everybody's talking about now, no tools in the box to address what is going to be a long recession because of the war.
Well, we have,
and those kinds of things.
Yeah, we have tools in the box to deal with inflation, okay? But those tools that fight inflation support recession. You know, it's a yin and yang. We can beat inflation, but now we have to walk
a tightrope. We can't beat them both.
Well, it's very hard to beat inflation and not have a recession as a process, as the result of the process. And so, and we've got lots of other pressures that are creating a recession or a likelihood of recession. And, we just had a quarter in which we had a reduction in GDP, which looks like a harbinger of recession, right? Two quarters in a row of shrinking GDP, and I think that's called a recession. But then when you look behind the numbers, you find out that the reduction in GDP was really the result of an increase in the negative balance of payments. We were importing more goods and exporting less goods this last quarter. And when you import goods, it doesn't inflate your GDP. Only the exportation of goods inflates GDP. So we were exporting less, importing more. The spending, the consumer spending actually went up.
Right.
And when consumer spending goes up, you can say, oh, well, that's good, except consumer spending going up is also a telltale sign of an inflation spiral because consumers want to spend more. If they think prices are going up tomorrow, they spend more today. So one of the things that drives consumer expenditure is the fear of inflation and the inflationary spiral. So you can look at this last quarter and say, well, it's the tea leaves are mixed. Well, I look at those and say, well, the tea leaves are mixed, but it tells me that there's still a drive for inflation built in there.
All right, we got to go to the break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. Be right back. We only got one world, and so we got one.